Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey there, and how do you do, Doug Millard?
Hey, Doug Benson. What up?
We got a good one today.
Ooh.
You're going to like this guy. Do you like Mad Men?
I sure do.
How do you feel about Happy Men?
Not as fun as Mad Men.
Okay, well, this guy is both. He played Harry Crane on the TV show Mad Men, but in real life, he's a very nice guy. Harry, not so much. We'll get into that and lots more with Richard Olin Summer II.
Yeah.
Whoa. Or as most of the world know him, Rich Summer. Let's go to work. Hey, Rich Summer, what are you doing?
I'm just hanging out. What are you doing?
Hey, Rich Summer, how's your winter? thank you for being here. This is it's a party line call that we're doing with my friend Doug Mellard, who's also a comedian. Doug, say hi to Rich.
Hello, Rich.
Doug. How are you?
Good. Glad to have you.
Yeah, other Doug, or sometimes I call him Melly Mel, is very excited that we're talking to you today. And, of course, I am as well. You're always a great guest on Doug Loves Movies. And I think you're probably up for what we do here today. We talk about just names in general.
Sure.
And, your name, there's a lot to work with.
It's a lot to unpack with it.
Yeah, it really is. Like, you really might want to think about a second bag or something to put all of this stuff, because you have one of those names. It's like, I'll just go through them one at a time. Let's just start with you're given a birth name. Your first name is Richard.
That's right.
So you're one of those guys. How did you dodge being called Dick? Like, how'd you get to Rich from Richard?
Well, I'm named after my father. I am the second.
I was going to get to that fanciness.
I know that's to the end. I'm sorry to spoil the end, but for now, I do have to bring it up to answer your initial question, because my dad has always gone by Dick. And so I believe they allowed me to dodge that little bullet under the auspice of being able to tell who was being asked for on the phone. So they went with Rich. I was Richie to a lot of family growing up.
Sure.
Still at times Richard to some teachers or creditors, but otherwise I've always really identified as a Rich.
Yeah. And it's, it's worked out great. I mean, just the whole concept that we talk about a lot of nominative determinism, that
sure.
The name Rich has got to be up there for, like, how many, poor riches could, I'm sure they exist, but it just seems like just a formula for success to already call yourself Rich.
I guess so. I never owned it as the adjective, really. I just sort of liked I just always felt like a Rich. And in fact, it the last time I truly considered it was when I joined SAG back in 2003. And I had to decide what my what my name, what my professional name was going to be. And I always thought I would be Richard Olin Summer II as an actor. And I thank whatever's up there every day that I went, you know, I think I should just go with Rich Summer. It just feels more like me. Boy, I'm glad I did that. Boy.
Yeah, well, you know, people will just, you know, shorten it up for you anyway, you know, with a lot of names, because like, technically with SAG, I am Douglas Benson, because there was a Doug Benson when I joined. So I had to go Douglas. I maybe even went middle name. Wow. And but I've only been credited with that like once or twice in my whole career, because just when the paperwork gets going, nobody writes down Douglas, you know?
Yeah.
So I walk out of it with my preferred way to be called.
I mean, I always thought it was interesting. Like Philip Seymour Hoffman obviously went by Phil, and like William H. Macy goes by Bill. I think it's, I always think it's kind of interesting when people set their professional name to be something different than their personal name. But in like William H. Macy's case, and Doug, you probably, Doug Benson, you probably, Douglas Benson, I'm sorry. I remember this now. You probably already know this, but that he wanted to be Bill Macy in the union, but there was another Bill Macy in the union. And so he had to go with William H. Macy. And that obviously that is what he's known as, but anyone who's ever had the chance to shake his hand, I'm told, introduces himself as Bill. So I think that's how he identifies in his day to day as Bill, but his working name is William. And I'm just glad I never had to make that switch. I just am just old Rich Summer wherever I am.
Yeah. And also though, you know, William H. Macy is one of the better actors at playing con men and David Mamet characters. So like, you know, he's going to set you back by telling you a different name right out of the gate than what you've just said to him.
Exactly.
it's like, it's comforting. And also like, well, hey, what's he trying to pull here?
Yeah. What's he up to? What are you up to there?
why are we so informal so quickly? You know, I just met you because that, you know, but that's the thing is like, I'm sure he's just a sweetheart because I mean, the lack of heat he got for what went down on the college scandal and Felicity Huffman, how little his name was brought up, and he must have known something. He must have been like sitting around, you know, the house when these things were happening, right?
I found that all fascinating. How, because and now I'm forgetting her name all of a sudden. Becky,
Lori Loughlin,
Lori Loughlin and her husband were always named together, but somehow, even though they're by all my understanding, married and sharing a home and everything, he just was like unaffiliated with that whole situation.
He was probably questioned by the police and he just did that sad puppy dog, you know, sniffled with the eyes, got off scot-free.
That's great.
I mean, I guess he might have some plausible deniability for just being like working on a show like Shameless, which I'm sure he was when all of this was happening. I mean, he could have just, you know, claimed to not really be involved in figuring out his daughter's college because he's on set for 12 hours a day, you know, or whatever. But I don't know. It's really unusual. But even the media didn't like, you know, drag him into it.
No, I mean, good. It's fine by me. Look, I hope he goes on to be fully free of it the whole time. But I just found it to be interesting.
Yeah, he didn't like try to be like, no, I'm the one that should go to jail. He didn't do that move. You know, he let Felicity go to jail.
That's true. I would believe that was a decision they came to together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, Bill's better with the kids. Felicity, you go to the minimum security spa prison. And because she must not have been in a real prison, right?
Listen, if it has the word prison on it, I don't want to go there. So I'm not sure where she was.
But Rich, what if you were in Portugal? Some parts of Scandinavia, they have like prisons where, you know, you're just on the honor system and you have a nice little room and you can go outside, but you just, you know, you got to stay there.
Nah, it's still written down somewhere. I don't want to do it.
All right. Let me just I'll write it down here. Rich Summer never wants to go to prison for any reason.
Thank you. Thank you.
How do you feel about, will you watch a screening of Shawshank Redemption with the doors locked?
Oh, listen,
we won't let you out until the prison movie is over. Will you do that?
Oh, God, we're flirting with something nerve wracking, but I'll try it. I'll try it. That's as far as I'll go.
I mean, it's a good movie. I don't know if I could sit through any movie knowing we've locked the door and we won't unlock it until the movie's over. Immediately a part of me that's like, oh, I don't want to watch this movie.
I don't ever use this word, but this is triggering. Is this what it means? You're reminding me of something from my youth. This is interesting. A friend of mine in high school, he's since passed away, unfortunately, but Rich Hooley, great guy. God, great guy. Great guy. Anyway, Rich and I went with a whole big group we were seniors in high school, and we went to this, a friend of ours was in a youth group, and the youth group was throwing a big party at a place called The Barn in my hometown of Stillwater, Minnesota. And The Barn was sort of, I guess, like an event space, but it really was just like a barn on a pretty large farm area. And at the event, it was like capture the flag and everyone's having fun. And it starts to get dark and they say, hey, everyone, come on into the barn. We're going to show a movie. And it's one of those movies where like the teenagers get in the car crash and they have to go to St. Peter. And it's like, it was a super religious thing. Wow. And I got the heebie-jeebies and I was like, Rich, let's get out of here. And Rich, I'm 6'1", and I was already about 6'1" in high school. Julio was like 6'4", 6'5", something. I mean, he was a big dude. And we went to the door, and there was this dude, Carl, who was in front of the door. And Carl was just a weenie little dude. And we said, hey, Carl, we're gonna take off. He said, why don't you wait till the end of the movie? And I said, well, actually, I think we're just going to go, Carl. And he said, why don't you wait till the end of the movie? And he just kept repeating, why don't you wait till the end of the movie? And so finally we said, fine, Carl, we'll watch the movie. And we stood with our arms folded next to Carl and watched this movie projected on the side of a barn, all about how you have to, accept Jesus to get to heaven if you die in a car crash. And if you were drinking, you're screwed anyway. And, whatever. Uh-uh. And then the movie finally ended. And we said, can we go now, Carl? And Carl said, why don't you hang out for the discussion? And we were like, Carl. And it's just, just skin start. So when you mention watching Shawshank Redemption with the doors locked, I actually am not sure I could do it.
Oh, Lord.
Those things are terrible. Like I had, a friend that was super religious in high school and he was in the drama club and then, eventually was, of course, came out as gay, but it was obvious at the time, but like also had very religious family. So it was, it was pretty rough for him. And one night he was like, hey, our church is having movie night. And, you love movies.
not Kirk Cameron movies.
So, yeah, it wasn't, Kirk Cameron wasn't in that game yet. But it was when I was a kid. But it was still, I just got roped into sitting through a thing that, every time I see a Kirk Cameron movie, because I've actually watched a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're very triggering for the time that, the same thing happened where I watched this whole movie that has like a very strong religious theme and is not a good movie. And then discussion, maybe some punch, but basically, it was just, I was just miserable the entire time. It just only reaffirmed my lack of interest in church stuff.
I mean, it certainly, I at the time was kind of in the game and it was one of those things that was sort of pushing me toward the edge of the nest, I will say, was being locked in that barn. And I was like, I don't think this is how it works, guys. Like, this is not, it's not working for me.
Just can we project it on the outside of the barn?
Yeah, yeah. Just give me a little air, man.
Can we be on the freedom side? Sometimes a man's got to run. that could happen. So, well, we're all, are you triggered too, Doug?
I mean, I'm triggered for Rich right now. That's horrible. I don't think I had an experience quite like that, but
nobody ever really forced religion on you at a young age.
Not really. I think my parents realized that we didn't love going to church, and eventually they just kind of, you know, backed off on it a little bit, I think. But
yeah, because they didn't want to go either.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think like they tried, but we started out in a small town in South Texas, and then we moved to like the Dallas area, and the churches they tried there got way too political. Like, you know, like it got way too kind of almost dirty or something. So they didn't enjoy that anymore. They didn't like that. They missed the small town community part of it. So they were like, screw it. You guys hopefully learned enough. And that was that.
I just want to know who just got mail.
That might have been me. I don't think it was me. It's Meg Ryan.
I wish farts sounded like that. Put some fun in it. All right, back to Rich. Back to this name of yours. Mm. Because you avoided the dick, which is great. And then no one knows that your middle name is Olen.
Yeah. Yeah.
O-L-E-N.
That's right. That's right.
How does that happen?
Well, again, my dad was given the same middle name. And it his grandfather was Olen, was his first name. And so it was it's a family name. And in fact, we were kind of close to when we had narrowed down names for our son. We had considered using Olen as a first name and my wife's maiden name as a middle name. And then it just sort of like, you know, we were like, do we want him to be an Ole? Do we want him to be a Len? Do we want him to be like, these are the real
options. Yeah, you got to extrapolate everything people are going to do with it.
Exactly. And I think Patrick ended up being a much more, a much safer name for him.
But now that you mention it, though, if you ever do, you know, if any of us run across an Olen, or if there are any Olens listening, I think Lenny would be a fun
name
for an Olen.
Yeah, Lenny could work.
Yeah.
But now I know him, and I know that, you know, part of this is whether it's determinism.
Yeah, I can barely say it myself, but I say it every show.
I'll say it.
Whether it's causal or correlative, I'm not sure, but I will say that, you know, I look at him now and I cannot imagine calling him Lenny. It just, I can't, it's simply impossible. He's such a Patrick. But I think, you know, that's how it goes. You both, he grew into that name and that name has changed meaning for me to mean him. So it's tough to imagine him any other name.
Right, right. Of course. But you also like, you yourself were shielded from any weirdness with Olen or, you know, or people just wondering what that, you know, misspelling it right by middle names. That's the thing, is they rarely have anything to do with nominative determinism. But in your case, I think it might just because the whole name sounds so classy. You know what I mean?
It's nigh regal.
It's not like Richard Harvey Summer, right, you know, right, it's right, like right. Richard Olen Summer, and then adding the second at the end, it's crazy. But so I wanted to ask you about Summer, because does anybody spell it right the first try?
Not a soul. Nope. Yeah. unless they're German, you know. My dad and I went to Munich a few years back, and it was shocking to see Summer it spelled that way is almost like Smith over there. It is everywhere. It's the name of a big trucking company, and it's a ton of people's last names, and it's of course how they spell the season, summer. And so it's a little simpler over there, but it was fascinating to see, because here nobody ever they either make it S-U-M-M-E-R or Sumner or Summers, like Mark Summers or Suzanne Summers. And it is always, I did get a piece of mail once to Rick D. Summers III. And it was fascinating that they screwed up every single aspect of my name.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a real, they're really going for it.
It was a humdinger, that piece of mail.
And then, well, also, do you get the people wanting to spell it with a AR at the end because of the success of Midsommar?
I don't know that that's circled back to my name quite yet, but you know, as that movie continues gaining cult status, I'm sure it's a possibility.
Yeah, I still don't understand. Like I like you were saying, it's summer is spelled S O M M E R. It's pretty standard. Like the AR spelling, is that just the guy that made that movie just being wacky, or is that also common?
I think that's maybe, what was it, like a Norwegian type spelling of it?
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think it was Scandinavian or whatever. And then the second, so you've made the strong decision to not have your son be the third.
That's right. It was definitely brought up. By me on, I believe, behalf of my father, and was a relatively short-lived conversation.
Well, it's just that, you know, as cool as the, you know, passing those things down is, like, the same name in the same household can be a real aggravating situation, and somebody has to pick, you know, use a different name. And yeah. That, you know, you certainly don't want to call your own son Richard to differentiate from
no. I mean,
that's more of an old man name.
It was also like the things I considered were, you know, by virtue of me being a second and not a junior, maybe someone down the line will be you could be a third to a junior anyway, but someone down the line could be a third, but I didn't want my son, should he choose to have kids, to feel then compelled to have a Richard the fourth, because it just feels, but then there are other families. Like, for example, our friend Eugene Cordero is, I believe, the ninth, in his family,
Eugene,
I can't remember his middle name off the top of my head, but Cordero, full name, I believe he is the ninth. I think that's right.
That's the only reason to name somebody Eugene. I mean, they got to keep that going. once you got, you know, once you're hit nine innings, you got to finish the game. You know, you got to keep going. That's crazy. Like, cause that was like, ended up being my brother's middle name, but he really thought he dodged a bullet by not having Eugene as a first name. Cause like, especially in the 70s, that like the nerd in Greece is called Eugene. Like, it's just sort of, you know, unfortunately, it's one of those names that's associated with like nerdiness.
Yeah, I get that. But I have to say, I think Eugene Cordero, you know, he's an actor. He's been in,
he's great.
Skull Island, and he's, you know, I've known that dude the longest that I've known anyone in the comedy world. He and I took our level one at UCB in 2003 together. And he is, I think, one of the leaders for change in making Eugene a very cool ass name. I mean, that guy.
I mean, the last name really pumps it up.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and then also he's very, as an actor, his you know, his main thing is funny, yes. Like awkwardness. He's very good at awkward.
Yes.
And he's great. And, but yeah, there's something about just to look at him, you don't think Eugene is like, I'm talking about like just some, you know, goofy look, you know, some white guy named Eugene.
Oh, I get it.
It's like, you know,
Gilbert, like, you know, it's yeah. Revenge of the Nerds. I mean, there's gotta be a Eugene in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, and Eddie Deason was Eugene in Greece. And of course, I think in every iteration of Greece, the nerd is called Eugene, because it's like, you know, they're just like, hey, Eugene. There's just something about it, you know, it's easy to. But my parents, I've probably said this on the show before, so to the very short version, but my parents, if I was a girl, were going to name me Eleanor. So that's one of the, you know, reasons, probably one of the only reasons I'm glad I'm a boy instead of a girl, was avoiding that. And, you know, the having to have a body that is supposed to make children, even if I don't want to. Those are my two things that make me glad to not be a girl.
Fair enough.
I'm Greg Abbott.
But yeah, so the full name Richard Olin Sommer II. That's pretty snooty. That's pretty snooty.
it is absolutely.
Yeah. So I that's why I think like you, you're kind of, you're bred for success and, you know, at least with the last name Summer, you're bred to be successful at least 3 months out of the year.
That's right. You know where I'm not that successful usually is the airport because the two is on my social security card and my passport.
Oh God!
I have to have it on everything. At airports, buying plane tickets, they just do not know how to do a suffix on a name. Uh-huh. So they just add it as two lowercase I's to Summer. So I have been, whenever they call me at the airport, they say, I'm Richard Sommeri, please, to the daughter, Richard Sommeri. I'm like, well, what name ends with two I's that you presume? Sommeri, like even in Italy, it would only be one I. I'm not sure why they.
Yeah, are. The double I really doesn't
make sense.
Wow.
Read right, but like,
no.
Sommeri, that's so. I thought you were, at first, I thought you were going to say they come up with Sommeri. You know?
No, that would make sense too.
Yeah. Oh, no, what a Sommeri outfit you're wearing today. Well, this has been great so far. We need to go to a break for, in case someday the show gets sponsors, we need to leave a hole for the ads. So we'll do that and we'll be right back.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back. We're here with Rich Sommer. We talked about how you got the Richie nickname. Mm-hmm. That people went to Richie. Do your friends, a lot of your close friends now call you Richie?
No, I have, I had some girlfriends who called me Richie. Very, very rarely. My aunts and uncles will still call me Richie. I've got a couple friends who insist on calling me Richard, which it's endearing from them, so I'll allow it. But otherwise, I don't claim that as my name. I had a friend at I worked at a summer camp for a couple of summers, and I had a friend there who called me.
You worked at Sommer Camp?
I did work at Sommer Camp. Thank you. He called me Rolly for the Richard and the Olin put together, and I kind of liked that. I thought that was fun because no one else was a Rolly, so I liked that. But
yeah,
otherwise, yeah, Rich is pretty
you
much
just
it.
Don't want to be a fat Rolly.
No, you don't want to earn the Rolly. I understand.
Yeah, you don't want to be Rolly plus Poly.
That's right.
You just want to be Rolly, but and but springing into action.
That's right.
Any other nicknames is what I was driving at. Like, did any other nicknames emerge in your youth or even now?
I'm trying to think of other nicknames. Not real. I mean, Rolly is the only sort of non-traditional nickname I can remember having. Otherwise, not. Richie, Richard. That's it. I have no patience for Rick. I have no patience for Dick. I can muster the patience for Richie or Richard in the right circumstances. Otherwise, I just, you know, like Matt Jones said recently on your show, I'm just rich.
He didn't call himself rich.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was co-opting his statement and changing it to mine. But yes, you understand.
Yes, I do. And I love a guest that does the research, listens to the previous episode.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It's a smart thing to do.
Thank you.
but you know, you're a pro. I got to just say really quickly that you, you know, you let us into your room where you are set up for, I assume, for whenever you need to make a remote appearance on anything. And behind you was a dazzling array of just shelf after shelf of board games.
Yeah.
Where did the fascination with and collection of board games, how'd that get going?
I always liked board games. I mean, I always liked games as a kid, card games and sort of standard publicly available games. And then when I was in grad school in Cleveland in 03, 02, something like that, there was a game store that was going out of business in Tower City, downtown Cleveland. And I went in there and the games were on deep, deep discount. And I just was looking around like I've never heard of these games, and I wrote a few down, and I went home and looked them up. And when I was looking up these games, I found this website called Board Game Geek. And I've always described this in the same way because it's the only way I can think about it. When I was in health class in college, they said that children of alcoholics usually have one of two responses the first time they drink alcohol. One is sort of like an allergic flushed response, but the other response is a feeling of, oh, that's what was missing the whole time. And when I saw Board Game Geek, the website, I just had this feeling of, that's what I was looking for. I didn't even know I was looking for this, and I found it. And my lifestyle was born, because games are truly a big part of my lifestyle. It was just, I did an internet search and went, holy shit, this is a thing. And it's me. I'm it. So that was it.
What's going to happen if your son doesn't have a passion for this?
He doesn't.
Oh, it's already happened. It's already clear.
That already happened. My daughter and my son, my daughter's a little bit older than him. They both, I think it's like when you try to, it's like, you know, my father-in-law was an insurance guy. He owned his small business insurance company in Minnesota. And he always hoped that the family would go into the business. And so he had them around, you know, had his kids working at the office on weekends and things like that. And I think all of them were like, I just didn't want to do insurance. You know, I saw it and I didn't want to, I saw how the sausage was made. And I think my kids are similar. I have been putting board games in front of them since they were infants. For them, it's like, I don't know, it's like being a pastor's kid who becomes an atheist. I think they just don't care. They see board games, they're like, oh, Jesus, he's going to talk about board games again. So I think it's, for them, unfortunately, the shine is not there.
At least it's not being pushed on them by a guy named Carl in a barn, you know?
It'd be why don't you just play the game? Why don't you just roll the dice? Come on.
What about another name that is heavily associated with you and must be thrown at you on occasion when somebody can't pull your actual name is you must hear Harry Crane from time to time.
I do. happy to hear it. Yes.
And is it what's the trajectory of that? Like when Mad Men was on, when it was on, was it more intense, or is it more intense now because the show just continues to be a thing that people, more and more people are, you know, catching up to it or whatever?
Yeah, I think it was really, really intense, particularly the last couple seasons of the show and then the two or three years following the end. It was pretty intense. I remember, you know, my wife and I went to New York for something. I don't remember. We were hailed a cab, and a guy was getting out of the cab. And at this point, a couple people had recognized me from Mad Men and said, oh, that you're on Mad Men. And it's like, yeah. But this was the first guy, as he got out of the cab, he said, oh, shit, that's Harry Crane. And I got in the thing. We shut the door, and Virginia was like, "He knew your name." It was as exciting for him to have known my character's name as it then became when someone actually knew my real name. Eventually, sometimes, rarely, but that was it. Was so I was like, "Oh my God!" Because Matt Weiner always said he the guy who created Mad Men, wanted to write the show in as realistic a way as possible, the dialogue, and so he almost never had characters saying each other's names. They were only really said as they were being introduced to someone else. It was rare that someone would come in and say, "Hey, Harry," you know, it just because that's not what we do in regular day-to-day speaking. And so he always remarked, "I'll be shocked if anyone knows any of your characters' names, because the only one we say on the show is Don Draper or Dick Whitman. Otherwise, nobody gets their names said." And it took a little while, but people eventually got them.
Wow. Yeah, and I feel like Harry Crane's probably one that when they do say it and you're not in the scene, they say Harry Crane.
Yes,
you know, they use the full name a lot.
Yes, yeah, with a fair amount of disdain, I think, as well.
Yeah, but you're not, you know, yeah. But that's the other thing I was going to say is that, like, again, with the whole name thing and how it affects the person, like, does the fact that there's something about, you know, I mean, the character wasn't like a villain, but obviously there's some issues with Harry Crane. Mm-hmm. But like when people on the show and in real life say Harry Crane, there's kind of like some anger in it, like kind of like, you know, they're saying it in a, you know, derogatory way. Like, does that never hurts you at all? You just feel like job well done, right?
That's exactly it. I mean, I was given, an incredible opportunity to be on that show. And my job was to make a guy as unlikable as they wrote him to be. And I feel as though every time someone says, "Oh, I hated your character," I feel like, okay, then the translation was successful from page to screen. And I'm pleased to hear it.
It's like going up to Carol O'Connor and going, "Hey, Archie Bunker is such a racist." You know, like,
"Oh, God, I don't know, he's so racist."
It's like, yeah, that's what he is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I am nailing it. do you think Harry Crane was a Harold or born a Harry?
He was a Harold. He was, I can't remember his middle initial, maybe T, I think, Harold T. Crane. But he was definitely a Harold.
That just sounds like a cartoon character or somebody's going to try to sell you something.
Well, I think like, even in the beginning of the show, it's funny you bring this. I like this podcast. I like the whole idea of the podcast because it is funny. In the beginning of the show, his business cards said Harold Crane. And then by the end, they always said Harry. The signs on his door said Harry. He sort of, they wrote it in, even not explicitly. It just sort of happened that Harry became owning of the name Harry rather than trying to be a Harold.
Yeah. Which is, you know, generally cooler, but then in his case, it's more like an attempt to be cooler.
Exactly.
And then something they do with the sideburns in the seasons when you had them? Was that done on set, or did you have to walk around in real life with those sideburns?
No, thank God. I mean, I did have to walk around with that hair. The hair was all mine, but the sideburns were applied every day. So it was almost as bad. It really, there was no, at least the hair I could hide under a hat. I'm glad I didn't have to grow those sideburns. In fact, I don't think I'm not hirsute enough to grow those sideburns. I don't grow a very full beard.
Yeah, I have the same issue where it just comes in, you know, so spotty that, like, if I ever did want to grow those, I don't think I could.
No.
But also, it's kind of a, you know, it's a weird choice. But also, it was like, that was like the last season or two, maybe.
Yeah, that's right.
As it was getting, you know, the as the years, you know, the show would progress through the years. And so you got more into the 70s look.
Yeah. Yeah. And Harry was, you know, a guy who fancied himself or at least wanted to position himself to be a Hollywood elite guy. And so he felt that he had to be on the hip tip. And I think that that's where those sideburns came from.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, that's one of the joys of that show, and anything that takes place in that time period is just the clothes and the looks are so so great.
There's a new show coming to HBO Max that I have just pop in on a couple of episodes, a very small role, but the show is called Minx, and it is set in the 70s. It's about sort of like a magazine. It's like Playgirl, basically, a women's skin mag from the 70s. And getting to be on that set and seeing the costumes and the hair and of an unabashedly 70s show. I mean, set right in the 70s. It's really, it is a wild time.
Did you hold on to your sideburns for Mad Men for it?
No, I didn't. I did wear my glasses from Mad Men in another show that is coming, White House Plumbers from HBO, which is a sort of a retelling of the break-ins that led to the Watergate break-in.
I'd hope so, because if it's not about that, it's the weirdest premise for plumbers that work at the White House.
But those, I'm sure they'd prefer I not say this out loud, but the glasses that I wear on that show are my exact glasses that I kept in Mad Men and wore in that show, because they just fit that
it's
time
perfect.
Perfectly. So yeah. In this space. So
yeah. And who can, you know, the people, the costume people and I guess props as well on that show were probably like, hey, those are perfect, you know?
Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do? They're just going to give me another pair that looks exactly like that. So I might as well wear the ones that have prescription lenses in them.
Oh, you really went for it. That's great. Oh,
yeah.
What about, we always like to ask everybody about the Dougs in their life, because Doug seems to be, everybody knows a couple of Dougs, but not too many. Other than the present company, are there any Dougs in your life?
Yeah, there was a Doug that when I worked at that summer camp that I mentioned, summer camp, when I was a CIT, counselor in training, one of the counselors that I ended up sort of tagging along with was named Doug. He is now a Republican state senator in North Dakota, I believe.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah. And then there was another guy, another Doug that I went to high school with. He always had a lot of hair, like very poofy pompadour type hair, which was kind of bold for the 90s, but he rocked it well. I think he was on the swim team. And that might be it. I don't know a ton of Dougs, and I'm probably forgetting a Doug or two in the heat of the moment. But
are there any actors named Doug that you've worked with? Any actors?
Probably. Oh, God.
Right? I mean, I, there's not too many of them out there. You know, like you've probably never worked with Doug Savant.
No, I don't think so.
Then there's Doug McClure, but he's not with us anymore.
There was Douglas Fairbanks. He's long gone.
Yeah. He got his Pimpernel Scarlet.
That's right.
Dougray. That guy really likes to throw a wrench into the whole, you know, the whole Doug situation. That there's people out there named Dougray is that's really confusing to me, you know, because I do think it's more of a Dougray rather than a Dougray. I mean, Dougray just sounds like Ray is the last name.
Yeah.
Or that you have some sort of laser named Doug. But that's, you know, that seems that's par for the course. The not knowing too many Dougs and not even necessarily being that close to the Dougs that you do know.
No, I think you might be my closest Doug.
I'm your number one Doug. What about
number one Doug?
We did this. Matt Jones did this. Is your phone handy? Can you just type Doug in and see if there's anybody in your phone numbers that's a Doug?
Let's find out right now, Doug. Show up three times.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I keep moving and changing numbers.
It's okay. But that's it. It's just you.
Well, I am very, I and Doug Bellard are honored to know that the two of us are, you know, basically your number one and two Dougs at this point in your life.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
I only just met you, Doug Mellard.
Yeah. Wow. Shut up towards the top.
He just met you. This is crazy, but he wants you to call him maybe.
What can I call you Rolly?
You can call me Rolly, absolutely.
No, we're going to call you. I'll call you Rolly from now on. What about riches that you've known? Because that's another thing we discussed is like, in the case of Doug's, we don't tend to gravitate toward each other. Doug's don't seem to know many Doug's. So like, what about riches other than your dad? Have you been close to or?
Well, you're saying, you knew another Rich, growing up, right? Yeah.
I knew Rich Hooley and I were friends. He was, like I said, great guy. Rich was, there was a pastor, Rich, at my church. Not the church that did the barn lock-in. This was the church that I went to was a little bit more relaxed. And he was the pastor there. He was a towering figure in my life for a few years. I'm trying to think of some other riches. I mean, you know, it's fair to say that Doug and Rich, they're not super common names. I mean, they're not like a Matt or a John. So it's fair to say that we wouldn't know too many of our own kind. I do know another Rich who's a producer and also father of a kid that my kids were in school with. But other than those riches, I can't really think of any other riches off the top of my head. Maybe I'll look. Let me do the phone thing with Rich.
Okay.
Shit show. Let's find out.
Yeah, it might be some. You might be have some rich. Or
oh well, there's Rich Vulture.
Yes.
There's one, of course.
Yeah, I saw his name when I was looking for your name earlier today in my phone.
There's a shrink that I had for a while was his first name was Richard. And then, I have a very small role in the movie King Richard. So that was a fun to be around. I was playing opposite in my scene, playing opposite Will Smith, who's playing a character named Richard. So that's really as close as I can get.
Did the two of you have a fun conversation about that?
No, we didn't have many fun conversations not because he was no fun. He was delightful the time that I got to spend with him, but we shot it. It was the filming was bisected by the COVID outbreak. So they were filming in March of 2020. Then of course I was supposed to start work 5 days later and it all shut down. I didn't work again until November of 2020. And it was still in the very, pre-vaccination, very tense set, going back to work in COVID times, hyper careful. So I was brought in to my own room that was near the set with a big air purifier that was just blasting. They would bring me to the set. I would film a take. They would send me back. I would wait. So there wasn't any of that sort of jovial, where are you from, chit chat. It was pretty businessy.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, less fun that part. But, it came out okay, which is good.
Yeah, and you didn't, that's another icon that when, people say, when you worked with him, you don't have to like roll your eyes, he was a fun experience.
Oh yeah, no, it was great. It was great.
Cause he's in such an interesting place cause he's just was such a huge, huge movie star and he still is, but the whole game has shifted a little bit. And then also his home life and every member of his family is up to something at any given time.
they do have a lot going on over there.
Yeah, somebody's always whipping their hair back and forth or something. It's crazy. All right. This is, I dare say running out of time. This has gone by so fast. We always ask every guest, I guess if you listen to the Matt Jones episode, you might have heard it. We ask everybody about first gentleman Doug Emhoff, because he's obviously the top Doug in the in the world right now, I would say. Have you ever had the pleasure of, have you ever been like in an event or something and met him and his
wife? No, I have not. I have not had the pleasure. I haven't gotten to do many, political. I remember during Mad Men when, you know, Ham and Lizzie Moss and a couple other people went to like what is it called? The press dinner in
oh, DC. Yeah. Yeah.
That they did a couple of those things. They have had a little more of that kind of interaction. Mine, I'm not so much. I haven't gotten to dabble in the political elite quite yet, but
yeah.
I would be honored. I would be honored to make Doug Emhoff one of my top Dougs.
Well, could your Doug that is like a senator in North Dakota maybe make a
He's a state senator, so it's a different thing. I'm not sure he's, and I also, having read some of his Facebook posts, am not sure they would have much to discuss. I think I think it's safe to say they have not met.
Yeah, no. When you told us about him earlier, I didn't even perk up like, oh, there's a Doug we can try to get on the show. That'd be a bad idea, I think. but yeah, I feel like you're right about I just know that Obama, like, you know, said John Hamm's first and last name to John Hamm.
Oh yeah.
And it was just that smooth Obama, John Hamm, just like the whole thing. I don't know what he would call Elizabeth Moss. He wouldn't call her Lizzie like you did.
No.
He wouldn't be that informal, I don't think.
No, but, he would say Elizabeth Moss or something. But can you imagine having, you've met a lot more people than I have, but I can't, there are some people like, you know, some people whose hands you shake that you can't believe you're shaking their hand. But I can't imagine having Barack Obama say my name. I can't. I don't know what that would feel like to my face. I don't know what that would feel like. That would
He would. You know, if he saw you like from across the parking lot, he'd be like, "Harry Crane." He would be into it if he saw you. I just know it. It feels like Mad Men is probably one of his favorite shows.
He did. our boss Matt Weiner has a framed letter that then President Obama sent to him, telling him how much he enjoyed the show. So I do know he has seen the show, which is,
oh, that's great. I love that. I love whenever, like, one time I was doing a show, I did a set in a club in San Francisco on a night when, for whatever reason, oh yeah, it's because Dave Chappelle was the headliner, but Al Gore was there. So like, you know, and they brought him in well before Dave went on, and Dave doesn't go on, you know, this was years ago, but even then he doesn't go on until he feels like going on, and then he does a really long show. And there was like, I wasn't even on the bill. I just said, hey, can I go on? Because, you know, they had to do something until Dave Chappelle showed up. Right. So I got up and I just did dumb weed jokes or whatever. But like, just knowing that Al Gore is sitting there having to hear my act, you know, I didn't get to get in his face. Cause that's another thing. If I do know a celebrity's in the room, I like to like go stand near them to see if I can get a compliment out of them. And, I didn't have that opportunity cause he's surrounded by Secret Service, but just knowing that he was subjected to like, you know, 10 minutes of, you know, my nonsense just makes me so happy.
You have those 10 minutes forever. He will never have them again. Those are your 10 minutes.
They really are for me, as has been for the three of us this last hour. This has been
great segue.
So much fun. We may have to, if you wouldn't mind, we might have to have you back sometime. Just I don't know if we've done this yet. I don't know if we've had somebody on for more than one episode, but there's just still so much more to talk about. Do you have anything, Rich, that you'd like to tell people to look out for, anything to plug?
No, not really.
do you podcast about board games at this point?
No, I used to. I haven't in a while. It's a lot of work having a podcast. You guys are putting in the time. I got sort of burnt out on it, but I enjoyed it while it lasted.
Yeah, and maybe you could still just release an episode every once in a while if you felt like it, right? Just release it into the same feed.
I think about it once in a while, but I don't know.
You know, maybe a board game will come along to just, you know, like sweep you off your feet. And you just, you know, you're so in love with it. You want to, you know, share it with the world.
That is the most likely scenario to get me back doing it. So maybe that will happen. I'm open to it.
Well, all right. I'm going to sit with my breath bated. And Doug Mellard, what would you like to promote, buddy?
Yeah, I'm going to give up my promotional time to just say, I just saw that Rich played a Doug.
What?
In The Devil Wears Prada.
Of course I did. Oh my gosh.
Do they ever say Doug out loud in Devil Wears Prada?
Or someone there? No, someone does. I think Anne Hathaway says it in a throwaway, like an ad lib thing. I think when they say you're a corporate research analyst, I believe she might have tagged it with Doug. I could be wrong.
You're a corporate research analyst, Doug.
Doug. Such vitriol built into that Doug.
Yeah, no, it does. Like, it's a name where you can really, you know, it's a fine point when somebody goes, blah, 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 Doug, at the end of a sentence. Like, it really, you know, and it's just like those commercials with the insurance commercials with the emu. They're like, you know, the emu and Doug. You know, it's always just like this, like, downer that there's a Doug in there.
Have you had that guy on? You got to get that guy.
I want to get that guy, but he's slippery. Like, he doesn't like social media in a way that I can sneak into his DMs or anything.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But, you know, we definitely have been talking about him. You know, he'd probably be my second most in line after Doug Emhoff. Doug
Emhoff. We'll get the emu. Maybe he'll do it.
Yeah. What else? Oh, I'm going to be in Portland this Saturday at Helium Comedy Club. It's a gas. It's at 4:20. It's Doug Loves Movies. And lots of Doug Loves Movies dates coming up in the next few months. So look for that in like Miami, Orlando, San Diego, you know, warm places during the summer.
Nice.
During these terrible, terrible times called winter. We always end the show with like some sort of Doug pun that is sort of related to the guest. And I haven't really thought of one while we've been talking. Have you thought of anything, Doug?
Ryan, you want to chime in there?
Ryan?
I think he had one.
Doug.
Oh,
men.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, Doug men?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. So it'll say, you know, Rich, Doug men with Rich Summer. So it's been decreed. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Doug.
We'll see y'all next time. As always, Doug men.
Got it.